We present the World Cup Sound of Football.
And a very warm welcome to another World Cup Sound of Football. My name is Chris Oakley, and with me once again, I'm very pleased to say, we have Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley here to talk generally about tonight's game. I say tonight as we're speaking. We're recording on Sunday evening, so we're about to witness the game between Germany and Australia. But anyway, let's crack on. Welcome, Terry and Graham. We're three days, I think, into the World Cup so far, before we come to the Germany-Australia game. What can we make of it so far? I mean, as I've got scribbled down on my notes here, just 9 goals scored so far from 7 matches. It's not exactly the goal fest that we were perhaps expecting or indeed hoping it would be. In fact, it probably makes Italia 90 look like a sort of relentless sort of kind of cavalcade of goal scoring. But and out of the 14 teams that have played so far, I think only 6 of them have actually failed to score. So it's not quite panning out, chaps, quite as we'd hoped. But do you see tonight's game between Germany and Australia perhaps putting an end to that? Do you think we'll get a few goals tonight?
Terry?
I would like to say yes, but that's because I've been saying yes, there'll be goals at the beginning of every game, and have been slightly disappointed. However, there's certainly potential for goals, certainly from Germany, and I imagine from Australia as well. But I do think that there may be some, perhaps, early day malaise for the teams. It's a completely different environment to play football in. Yes. There are complaints about the ball, but I'm not quite sure how much credence we can put that in.
Most of them from Robert Green, I think you'll find.
Well, if there is a problem with the ball, then there won't be a problem, then we'll know after tonight, because the Bundesliga players have been playing with that ball the last, 6 months or so. So they should be well used to it.
About the ball is that the fact that it might be doing different things at altitude. But, I mean, this just seems even more flim-flam to me, but I'm not too sure. It does seem interesting because there have been 2 incidences that have been nearly identical in the games I've seen. The first off is goalkeeping handling errors, like we saw with Rob Green and the Algerian goalkeeper,
Choji. Yes.
Yeah, where the ball just somehow completely deviated out from their expected line and just made them look much of the fool. I saw Rob Green in a post-match interview saying, "Well, look, I had both my hands there, and they're about, you know, when I've stretched them out, they're like about a foot across." And it's hit the tip of my thumb. He said, that's how far it's moved from where I expected it to be. And it looked like, for the Algerian goalkeeper, it looked even wider than that. So it's a shame
I'm not just saying this just to defend a West Ham goalkeeper, but looking at the way that the Algerian goalkeeper approached his save, I think his technique was a bit more out the window. I think he could have just beaten it away or something, whereas... I'm still not sure about the Robert Green thing. I mean, it sounds like sort of John Terry has kind of given him the excuse of, like, did it swerve? And he went, yes. No, absolutely, yes, well, yes, it swerved.
There's been a couple of sending offs where the guy for the second bookables, has been a handball. And they seem to happen in very, very similar circumstances. Only one was for a penalty and one was for an attacking side. And that was in the Algeria game, and in the last game, the Serbian game, where it looked like these defenders have completely misjudged the flight of the ball, and ended up sticking their arm out just to try and get hold of it.
I'm yet to see a conclusive angle on the Robert Green one. I'd like to have seen a sort of behind the goal angle.
I don't think you're going to see one that looks semi flat, that looks like forgiving to him at all. I mean, it's just a very, very nasty goal. But yeah,
it's your fault, Greg. I just realised you met the bloke. You probably shook his hand. You must have.
I shook his right hand. It came off his left hand. Okay, look, that's.
I hadn't thought that one through.
I did not curse his hand. Okay.
Oh well, never mind. It was just a thought.
I'm bored of this conversation. But, let's talk about the Germany Australia game.
Let's move on to the Germany Australia game. Now, I'm led to believe from the sort of pre-match chatter on the web that Australia may be sort of flooding their midfield. Terry, do you think Germany are in their current form capable of breaking it down?
Yes. I think so. We've discussed that Germany, we don't think, are going to be that good this World Cup, but I think that they're going to be good enough to beat Australia. I'm quite excited about this. I'm sort of, being an Englishman, and although I do blog about the Bundesliga, I'm sort of like steadfastly, no, I am not a German fan. But having followed a lot of these players in the league, I'm really excited to see how they're going to do in the World Cup. I can't help myself, and I'm really intrigued by the lineup. Mesut Ozil is starting, which is extremely good news.
Yes.
And he seems to be playing in some kind of what looks like he will be playing in a central role, supporting Podolski, Müller, and Klöser. So it's a really exciting attacking lineup. There's Khedira from Stuttgart and Schweinsteiger. So it is. There doesn't seem to be any kind of holding or defensive midfielder there. So Yogi Löw is going for it. There better be goals in this, because otherwise we know the questions will be answered. Because, I mean, when you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 attacking players, that's not including Philipp Lahm, the fullback, then, my word, you know, you've got it. And they've got Manuel Neuer in goal. Now, I mean, if you're looking at gaff-prone goalkeepers, look no further than Manuel Neuer. There's going to be fun all the way around there. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Australians will be assuming that the Germans will be going for goals, and they have probably, Pim Verbeek has decided that it would be a good idea to populate the midfield, see if he can, you know, ensnare them.
Hmm. I was going to, without wishing to put either of you on the spot, because I know you two are much more much better informed on German football than myself, but I was just looking down the German team there and I saw this name of Sami Khedira. He's not a name I'm familiar with. Do either of you know you just mentioned, Terry, he plays for Stuttgart. Do either of you know anything about him? What sort of game he plays, or how reliable he is, or anything?
He's a left midfielder and he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's about as far. I mean, I've seen Stuttgart a few times, and yeah, he's pretty good. There are some other German bloggers who rate him extremely highly and think that this could be his World Cup. But I don't know. I don't know whether that's the case. It could well be the case. I mean, I'm figuring that it could be Özil's World Cup, personally.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
But I've been consistently wrong about almost every aspect of the World Cup so far, so maybe I shouldn't say
you
that.
You can, I suppose.
I mean, there is not much more to say apart from the fact, yeah, I mean, he is a left-sided attacking midfield player, and he's benefited from Germany's injuries. He wouldn't be there, I think, were it not for the injuries that Germany have sustained. I think it would be Simon Rolfes who would be playing in that position. So we'll see. So he'll be an unknown quantity.
Do you think do you think Boateng will come on during the game?
Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I was surprised that that was something else I did want to bring up. I'm glad you mentioned that, Graham. Thank you. Because Boateng's been dropped. Well, not dropped. He's been left out. And Bad Stuber's been played as left back. It says here, anyway, on the SoccerNet website, that Bad Stuber will be playing at left back. Now, Bad Stuber was played in for Bayern as a right back by Louis van Gaal throughout most of the season, dropping into the centre of the defence, because that's actually what he is, a central defender. But he's been playing as a left back, I think, presumably to get experience and to be blooded by Van Gaal, and I think eventually will move into the Bayern centre of the defence. And it's curious that Löw has chosen to put him in that left back position at the expense of a dedicated left back who's just moved to Manchester City for what, £11 million. So that's a really interesting selection. I don't imagine that Boateng would come on unless there was some kind of epic tactical fail or an injury, or Bad Stuber has a really, really bad day. But I mean, he's held his own just about in the Bundesliga, and I would imagine that he could probably hold his own against this Australian team.
I mean, maybe there's a fitness doubt about looking at the subs list, though. I mean, I don't think Lowe's got a plan B in there.
Nein. There is no plan B. No, this is it. They're going, or to use an Australian expression, there ain't no plan. he's going for it. I mean, if you look down there, I mean, you look at the options that he's got, and all of the options that he has there are all attacking options, with the exception of the goalkeeper, Hans Jogba. And Dennis Aogo. Not even Dennis Aogo. Yeah, the goalkeepers and Marcel Janssen. Everybody else, if you look down there, most of those players, I'm generalising slightly, Kroos, Marin, Boateng, Kakao, Kiesling, Aogo and Gomez and Tchaikovsky are all attacking footballers. I mean, there's no defensive midfielder that you can discern from there. There's no holding midfielder. No, Germany have got no choice. They score more goals.
It's only one way of playing, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, but their hands are tied to an extent. I don't think they've got much of a choice because that's the squad that they've been sort of like left with the injuries that they've had.
I'm guessing they may need those attacking midfielders, given the fact that, as I understand it, Podolski scored 2 in the league this season and Klose has only scored 3. So they might need to bring on some of those players perhaps during the course of the game if things aren't quite going to plan.
Gomez hasn't done much better, has he?
No.
Who's that, sorry?
Gomez.
Gomez.
Gomez, Gomez, yes.
Gomez hasn't done much better. And Gomez has had more game time than Klose, and so Gomez's excuse for not doing much better is worse than Klose's, who at least can say he hasn't played much. So and as for Podolski, he's been shocking at Cologne since he's returned. But he is a Germany player, like Schweinsteiger, they tend to reserve their best performances for the national team.
Well, I think at this point, before we go on, just want to apologise to our Australian listeners, particularly to John Price at Statos, for that rather strangulated Australian stereotypical accent that Terry just did. But
sorry,
never mind that. But we're now going to head off and watch the first half of the game, which, as I speak, is due to start in about 6 minutes' time. We'll be speaking to you for us at the half-time break. This will seamlessly carry on straight after we're talking now, and we'll give you the benefits of our opinion as to how the first half has gone. But for now, here's some music. And as you join us now, it's, for us at least, half-time in the match between Germany and Australia. 2-0 to Germany, and it must have been something we said, fellas, about there not being many goals up to this point in the World Cup, because we've now got 2, thereby increasing the total so far by about 500% in one fell swoop. But Germany looking pretty clinical so far. They've had the lion's share of all the decent play, shall we say. Starting off with yourself, Graham, how good are Germany looking? How good are Australia looking?
Germany are looking fantastic, especially in midfield. I think Müller and Ozil are just running the show down that right side, and I think that the Australian left back Chipperfield must feel like he's been turned inside out. They've been lively. I mean, I'm not too sure about what you said about Germany being clinical, because I think they could have scored about 6 or 7, couldn't they, in the first half?
Yes.
Klose certainly could have had a hat trick. They've been really, really very good. But then again, I think Australia have been bad. I mean, like, for a team that was meant to be packing out the midfield, I mean, Germany just seemed to be able to cut straight through them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, I know Ozil's good. I mean, like, he's the guy that has been touted as a possible replacement to Fabregas if Arsene Wenger gets a big war chest from any possible sale. But and he's shown that tonight on the world stage. But
you could have afforded lots of space in which to do
stuff. Exactly. And I'm really surprised that Australia aren't pushing so much. I mean, so. I've been disappointed in Australia. They've had a couple of opportunities, and they could easily have got a goal themselves. But I think they're deservedly down at the moment, because Germany looking good, Australia look very, very shaky at the back.
And just as well, Germany didn't have a plan B, Tel?
Yeah, just as well. I mean, they've been given so much space to do their work that it's easy to get perhaps carried away about what they're going to do in this World Cup. But if that's any indication of what they're going to do, then we'll have to start unwriting off the Germans. Having said that, Australia have been really poor, and it's been very difficult to establish any kind of shape that they're playing, apart from the fact that they don't appear to be playing with any striker, unless you count Tim Cahill, who has played as a kind of makeshift striker Well, not a makeshift striker. Has he played? He's been played in that kind of the most forward midfield position by Everton, who have had no strikers.
Yeah.
And that has worked. And I'm wondering if he's kind of, Verbeek is kind of thinking about the same along the same lines there. But they don't appear to have any kind of whatever plan they had, that it's not being executed, and the Germans are just being allowed to just do whatever they are they want. And Graham is absolutely right. Özil has had two wonderful chances to score, which he squandered, and Klose had another chance to score before his goal, which he squandered. I mean, it could be lots to not many, lots to nil at the moment.
Mm.
I would like to see their German defence tested, particularly on the set pieces, that initial corner that they had. We haven't really seen
clearance that the Lahn had off the line. I mean, that showed how flaky they were off set pieces, wasn't it? So
yeah, that's not really part. That's not something you practice on the training ground, is it? You know, those last ditch defence clearances. So yeah, no. I'm sure we'll see a response from the Australians in the second half. And I mean, if Australia can get a goal early in the second half.
Fill in the blank here.
Mm. I'm being
optimistic on behalf of our Australian listeners, but if it's like that,
Chris?
What, Australia getting a goal back? They kind of look purposeful in moving the ball forward, but they just, it all kind of seems to fizzle out when they get to the final third, unfortunately. At least for them, in any case. So I'm not optimistic. I must admit, there doesn't seem to be any kind of cohesiveness in attack, and you know, Germans being as organised as they as organised as the Germans are by renown, you can't see them getting much sort of joy out of that. And of course, now the Germans are a couple of goals up, they can afford to just sort of soak up the pressure a bit and just let the Australians kind of wear themselves out playing the ball around. That's putting things in simplistic terms, going by logic and all that. Are you inclined to disagree, either of you?
No.
If there's any way back for Australia at this stage?
I don't see it really at the moment. I mean, they've really got to change things down majorly. Germany would have to seriously implode for things to change right now.
All I would say is, as I said, to repeat what I earlier said, the German defence hasn't been tested.
No.
If Australia can contrive a goal from a set piece early in the second half, then that's the only. But I mean, you know,
there's a lot of ifs, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just to review the salient points here, Müller basically scored after 7 minutes. Very nice. Podolski, I should say. It was Müller who pulled the ball back from Podolski to whack that straight into the net in no uncertain terms. And, of course, Klose headed the ball in from a good Lahm cross. Lahm's been very good, of course, in the first half. He's been looking very purposeful. Özil was actually booked, wasn't he, for diving, seemingly, after about 11 minutes, I think he was. Does that have possible recriminations coming back later on in the tournament, much like Gerrard getting booked for England? Maybe.
May well be. Depends how. Yeah.
But unlike Gerrard for England, presumably he won't be substituted. Not Gerrard. Who is it? Who is it?
Got it was booked?
Maybe I'm. Oh, I don't know. I'm just perhaps getting myself confused. It's easily done at my age. And of course, the chance you mentioned there, 5 minutes before the end of the first half, Podolski with the through ball to Özil, who sort of chipped it over, looking all the world as if it might go in, but cleared off the line. But I'm thinking that there's going to be more of the same in the second half. I'm struggling to. I think our friend Statos earlier on Twitter said that at least Australia have won at the anthem singing. So fair enough. A few sort of bonus points for them there. Any other Twitter comments have we seen coming in, chaps, during the course of the first half? It's all been pretty everyone saying how wonderful Germany are, aren't they? Really?
Yes, basically everybody saying how great Germany are. Was DY158 has suggested what the consequences might be if England were to play Germany in the second round, given the but I think that's a bit premature, given that it's only I've only seen one half, which is about to start.
Yes,
indeed.
Fine.
Well, let's adjourn then for the time being, and we will bring you more of our comment and stuff after the end of the game. But that will be in the third part of this programme, which follows shortly. here we are back for part three of this particular World Cup Sound of Football podcast. And the final score was Germany 4, Australia 0, which you, of course, will have known about for quite some time now. But it's only just the match has only just finished for us. Well, what can I say? It was a formality in the end. We sort of felt, I think, at half-time that Germany would go on to win comfortably. But I think it goes without saying that a turning point would have been the sending off of Tim Cahill, as if they needed one. Sent off 10 minutes into the second half with a dubious challenge, shall we say. What have we got to say about that? Let me put forward, I think, in terms of sort of Twitter comments earlier on, one of our followers, Richard Johnson, had made a comment, I think, in the first half saying, very impressed with the refereeing so far. Some good moments. I thought, oh dear, that all kind of, unfortunately, unbeknownst to Richard, it all kind of fell apart there. But I don't think that should have been a red card, should it, really?
Well, no, it shouldn't have been. I mean, it was clumsy. It was certainly a yellow card. If you were to be really sort of like picky, yes, probably Cahill may well have picked up a yellow card earlier. I mean, he was being quite sort of combative in midfield. But you know, the referee hadn't brought him up on anything beforehand, and then to suddenly branch out the red there was surprising, and it was any sort of hope that Australia had of getting back into the game like we discussed at half time just went completely out the window. It was still a long shot for them to get back in that game, though, because Germany still looked in control, and obviously, like when they were a man up, then it just helped the cause even more, didn't it?
It did, and Terry. I mean, even before that sending off, they were Germany playing some wonderful 1-2s up the pitch to down the right hand wing to carve Australia open, and they were doing it pretty much at free will after that sending off.
Yes, they were, I thought Ozil deserved his Man of the Match award from the good people of ITV.
ITV.
I mean, even they managed to get Kakao in on the act later on in there with a beautifully worked goal. That ball from Badstuber to and the run from Ozil to create that goal was just sublime, dare I say. Really, really exciting. But again, the optimism. It's funny because I was just thinking while watching it, God, Bild are going to have an absolute field day tomorrow. And then rather disturbingly, Peter Drury, the ITV commentator, said the same thing seconds later. I thought, oh my God, I'm channeling ITV commentators.
clean.
Or they're channeling me, I don't know. I still think that Germany... I'd like to see Germany against Serbia, which is just as well because they're going to. So that'll be a much, much sterner test. But on the basis of that, they were certainly a breath of fresh air in what's been a difficult World Cup so far on the pitch. It's taken a bit of time to get going, and this was certainly by far the best match and the best performance by a single team.
Well, I was saying to Graham just before we came back on air for the third part that there were a lot of people on Twitter sort of saying how Germany are without doubt the best of the sort of big guns that we've seen so far, and I did sort of point out to Graham, who obviously already knew, the fact that actually we've not really seen that many of the big guns so far. We haven't seen Italy, we haven't seen Holland, we haven't seen Spain. I think it's a little bit unfair to sort of suggest that they will all come out sort of all guns blazing right from the start, but having said that, I mean, I just, funny enough, I sort of felt at the start of the last World Cup, 2006, Germany were in the very first game and absolutely whipped Costa Rica. I think it was 4-2, and I thought that really kind of got things off to a good start. So maybe they're getting this competition off to a good start themselves, albeit sort of 3 days into the thing. But, ironically, the second half started with a little bit of controversy. Only a couple of minutes in, Mertesacker supposedly handballed. We did handle the ball, but I think it was kind of accidental.
Well,
but
yeah,
certainly the Australians are complaining. Which could have turned things, as you say, we've seen them given.
Badly.
So after that, and then like I say, it was just the German machine sort of kicked into gear, really. Lots of nice 1-2s and whatever. Clinched it after the sending off, so it was the two goals in the space of about 3 minutes. Thomas Müller Shooting in off the post past Schwarzer in the 67th minute. Kakao scored when he came on precisely 112 seconds after he set foot on the pitch, which is it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they know this. They read it in the paper. Come on.
Okay. I think what else? Going back to Twitter comments, and I'm not sure kind of what you two had seen on the thing, on the old Twitter feed, but a couple of good ones I spotted. Second Yellow said, Germany ties a kangaroo down, enjoy some sport, which I thought was quite apt. At Danger Here sort of come up with, I've been trying to think of something along these lines myself, said, wondering if Jurgen Löw is one of the husbands in Desperate Housewives, chap in a wheelchair or something. Must have been sort of fashion sense, perhaps lends itself a little bit to someone along those lines. And, yes. And did you spot any of those, any things on...
Well, I thought that, that it was also interesting that Germany had two players booked for diving during the game. I wonder whether that's going to be significant throughout the rest of the... of the World Cup.
I haven't seen a lot of bookings yet for simulation, have we?
It's something that the Germans have been accused of before in past tournaments, as we know. It's interesting that they seem to have been the recipients of what could conceivably be a directive, perhaps to the referees, to be particularly watchful of something like that. And of course, there were three red cards today. Game,
yeah.
Is that right? Have I got that right? Every game had a sending off, didn't it?
Yeah,
The referees have definitely cracked the whip thus far. Interesting on the referee, one of the guys on the on a live blog that I was doing during the game he seemed to think that the Mexican referee looked like Ray Reardon. I thought he looked a little bit more like Bela Lugosi, but I don't know. You know, maybe that's a poll we can put up for the listeners after the game.
Didn't somebody say something like, I'm just trying to... wasn't there sort of German assistant manager or something called Herr Flick, essentially? I'm not sure if that was just a complete kind of... I'm guessing his second name is Flick, and just sort of whoever it was sort of added that he must be German, so that we'll call him Herr. There we go, we made a joke up there. But you couldn't write that sort of stuff.
Well, you could, and someone did.
That'll be him.
Yes.
I was going to, at this point, drop in the comments of Robbie Savage, who apparently has been on the BBC site giving his comments on the game, but I suspect, my personal feeling is he's even less relevant as a pundit as he was as a player, so I don't think we'll even bother kind of coming up with any of his stuff. Sorry, was somebody going to say something? I thought I heard someone who was about to butt in.
I think we might have covered all the bases, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was probably the best match we've seen so far, but only because of a good performance from one of the teams. I think it was a bit harsh on Australia. They were poor and they were shown the door. They were poor and they were made poorer by some rather dodgy refereeing. But we'll see better games than that, and we'll see more goals as well. At least we've got a multi-scoring game under our belts already, anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I think and for Australia next, I think, am I right in saying they've got Ghana in the next game? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they'll do better against Ghana. I mean, Ghana got the win today, but I mean, it wasn't very convincing.
Yes. I was just going to say a first win for an African team on home soil. There you go. There's another stat. For what it's worth. Germany will have next. I've lost me. Who are they playing in the
next? They're playing Serbia.
Serbia, yes, as you said. So I beg your pardon. And from what I saw of Serbia earlier on, they were looking like they were at least good for a draw, but I guess they'll have a chance to sort of make up for that in the next game. But Germany, I think, possibly have one foot already in the second round, dare I say it. But then we predicted that anyway, I think. So not such a shock there. That, I think, is our sort of summation of the events in the match tonight, Germany against Australia. Just to do a couple of quick sort of shout-outs before we go, just to sort of say our friends David and Gavin over at Mostly Football Podcast, well worth listening and doing some grand work there. Mostlyfootball.com is a place to go to listen to them. And our unofficial partners, you might say, are Chris and Gary over at the Two Footed Tackle Podcast, and they're also doing some tremendous podcasting work during the World Cup. You can go to twofootedtackle.com and go and listen to them. If you want to get in contact with us, please feel free to do so. Our website address is soundoffootball.blogspot.com, and you can get in touch with us on Twitter at soundoffootball is the address to find us on there. But other than that, I think we're back next for the Uruguay-South Africa game. Am I right with that one?
You are.
I think I am, yes, indeed. So go check your wall charts and do come back and listen to us again on that one. So for now, it's a very good bye from us, from myself, from Terry and Graham. Hope to have the pleasure of your company again for another podcast soon. But for now, from the three of us, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.